Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Top of the morning to you. I tell you, it is a wonderful day to be alive. Thank you for joining us, a day we've never seen before. Just trying to get together here. I'm working a little remote today, so I'm trying to get together. So, big game last night in the NFL, but we're not going to go to NFL first. We're going to really try to focus on a little college basketball because that's what we do here in the Triangle. And Duke had another Innisfail game last night, I call it. I mean, really, Citadel, those guys, don't they go to the Army? Do they go and fight? I'm not sure. I think they do.
Actually, no, I think you're right. I think they do.
So, you know, they got a lot of things on their mind other than make some baskets. But they played pretty decent first, I would say the first 10, 15 minutes. But my main guy, I told you this, I don't know, this summer. Maybe it wasn't the summer. Maybe it was October. I told you that Paolo Banchero is that dude. I mean, and I'm not even a Duke fan, but he is that dude, and nothing we can do about it. He showed up last night. He had 28-8-6. He had last night. Duke defeated Citadel 107-81. And it was an interesting game. Not only for the basketball, but during that game, a little disturbance, I wouldn't say disturbance broke out, but it was a period in the game where Astro coach for Citadel, Duggar Balcom collapsed early in the first half. And it's kind of weird when it happened because I was watching the game and I saw people standing up, looking down. I'm like, what is going on? And it sounded a little like this when the coach collapsed.
To his feet. Had just collapsed on the sideline and is now being escorted off Coach K court. You see Mike Krzyzewski come over to give his well wishes to his opposing head coach.
Wow. That's kind of, I mean, that's really unfortunate what happened. Jack Castleberry, the Citadel assistant coach, talked about, he said, all things considered, he's as good as he could be. That's what Castleberry said about Balcom. He was coherent the entire time. He just said he was in pain. I'm not sure if anybody heard anything else about that, but that was a tough one. Team later stated coach was alert and in good spirits. Okay. I don't know. Trust me. For someone who's had issues, a lot of reasons can occur for you to collapse or, have dehydration issues or whatever. I don't know what it is, but I'm glad, based on what I'm reading here, that he was alert and in good spirits. So that's kind of weird to see that.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I felt something was funny was happening because it wasn't. I saw how people start standing up and looking down, and Coach K went over there. I'm like, somebody must have had some issues on the sideline over there, and that's what happened. So, yeah, man, it's. So hopefully, again, Coach Backer will be getting better and be able to travel back to South Carolina tonight. The Heels play tonight. Heels play tonight on ACC. Man, you know when you lose two games in a row, they put you on that other channel. The channel that NC State plays on all the time. The ACC Network Extra. Why the hell is ACC Network Extra?
Well, you got to have.
I mean, you really got to hustle
and some tinfoil to get it.
North Carolina, the Tar Heels take on another UNC school, UNC Asheville tonight. That game is at 7 p.m. And it's in Chapel Hill. And you can see it on ACC Network Extra. My goodness. But damn, they got Wake Forest playing Kennesaw State on the ACC network. Wait a minute. Hold on. We got bucked by Wake Forest?
Well, now.
We got bucked. Hold on. It'd be different Wake Forest playing Gonzaga or you said, hell, they playing Kennesaw State.
For Wake Forest?
They just got a school. They just got a school 3 years ago.
If you look at the last 72 hours or so, just maybe, you know, maybe we need a break from network television. Okay. You know what I mean? Maybe we need to take a break, you know?
Okay. You know what? You're probably right about that. But, damn, we got bumped. Wait a minute.
That's not the right way to look at it.
It's on the ACC network. And they
you're
got
looking
us on
at
ACC
this all
network
wrong.
Extra. No, I'm
you're
not.
Looking at this all
I'm looking
wrong.
At completely
no.
right.
They had to fill that spot with Wake Forest and Kennesaw because they wanted to give you a break. See?
Oh, okay. That's what they told us?
Yeah. See, they wanted to give you a break. See?
You know how people try to... They try to like they're doing you a favor, but they really not doing you a favor.
Right.
I mean, we talk about you. We want to put you guys in that prime time 7 o'clock slot. But it's on the station. Nobody know where the hell it is. But that's okay. Yeah. We put you in that prime time spot 7 o'clock. That's what
I know. I know there's been a lot of pressures in the last few days, so we were thinking maybe just to ease things just a tad bit for you. We'll move you to the extra.
I'm like, don't do me no favors, man. I'm good. ACC Network Extra. I still don't know what it is. Is it on our television? Or is that you got to go like ESPN3 or something? You know. I don't know what it is. I've never seen it, so I'm not even trying to be funny.
So this is not even a quality thing at this point. I just want people to know that, you know, we give it a hard time. It's the fact that I can't find it. Okay, that's the problem. I don't know where it is. I mean, how do you find it? Look, when Google can't find you,
how about this?
There's a problem.
Can somebody call us and let us know? 919-890-6200. How can we find the ACC Network Extra? I want to watch the game. I mean, damn. You got to let the sports shop know. We're trying to see University of North Carolina Chapel Hill play, take on the University of North Carolina at Asheville. The game's at 7 p.m. It's on ACC Network Extra. That's where it is. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Hey, I mean, 919-890-6200. I'm serious. I'm trying to figure out where it is.
You got it, Casey? It. Did you find it?
No, I have no idea. But if you do what do you... Because, look, I haven't been too happy watching North Carolina. So, if you do find it and you do get to watch, what are you looking for, like, from them? Because I know, you know, we talked about College of Charleston kind of came out there running, smacked them in the mouth. Purdue. Kevin, do you want to see better defense? You want to see them run more? What are you looking for in the Heels tonight?
I said it yesterday. I'm looking for – they're supposed to be this running gun team. I'm looking more of that up and down action. But more importantly, they got to play some damn defense. I mean, this defense is terrible. I mean, this is the worst defensive team I've seen probably in a long, long time. They play no defense. And I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't. Because defense is effort. Now, I'll be critical. You know, I love my Heels, but defense is just effort, man. Just want that want to, they say all the time. I don't see that want to, K-Mac.
Well, I could be a little critical, but I'm going to reserve, you know, judgment just a little bit. I want to see how they rebound from this slight adversity they've had in the last couple of games. But I'm going to scratch the surface just a little bit. They're going to have to figure out how to get tougher, right? Yeah. We can go much deeper than that, but I'm just going to start with, they're going to have to figure out how to get a little tougher and show somebody they want to win. And I know it's cliche. People say, well, of course they want to win. No. You want to be able to go out there and say, I will physically impose my will on the man in front of me.
We're gonna have
if you don't have that kind of fight in you, Uh-huh. You don't have that kind of fight in you, you're going to have a long season.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with C.F. Rattler later. Because I'm going to tell you, the great part about this time of year, you see a lot of basketball. Man, I mean, at one time I was following four games last night, plus the Monday Night Football, which we're going to get to in a second. And I'm going to tell you, that's what teams out there, man. They got that 1-2K, Matt. I mean, they play hard. There's some teams, like, I was thinking, like, how the hell? Like, I saw Arkansas play last night. Man, I mean, there's some teams that are not playing, man. I even saw Gonzaga a little bit last night. Good gracious.
So sometimes it feels like, it just feels like, you know how some people have a demeanor of, you know, well, what do you think? How do you think we should do this? Let's all get together. Let's brainstorm. And then there's some coaches and some people that's just going to get in your ass.
Yep.
Now I don't know where Coach Davis is on this spectrum, but I hope in the last couple of days he's been getting in somebody's ass.
Yeah, you know what? I'm the same way. I got that feeling that he has, though, to be honest. I got that feeling that I think we'll see a little different team tonight. Now, but then I can't really measure that because that's not Purdue right there or Tennessee
tonight. Right,
you know,
right.
I can't really measure that. So I won't get all happy. They come out there in your face, dive on the floor. No, yeah, no, talking junk. No, I want you to do that when you play somebody that you could potentially lose to. Hell, maybe UNC Asheville. I don't know what kind of team they have,
I'm assuming. What are you going to do when somebody's going to snatch your book bag? What you going to do?
Right. Exactly. Take your lunch money. What you going to do?
What you going to do? Huh?
Because I'm going to tell you, I saw Florida State. You know, we love Lynn Hamilton. He got 12 deep. And all of them trying to take your lunch money. I saw him last night. Hell, they beat somebody by 40. And seriously, they in your face, full court press, man to man. They go zone every now and then. And they trying to take your lunch money. Straight up.
And if you show him that you don't want to take somebody else's money, he gonna take your time. How about that?
Exactly.
he gonna take your time. He's like, well, you could play, but since you don't want to play, you won't play.
So come on over and sit next to me. Yeah, I said to say that just to piggyback on what you said, man. There's some teams out there. They for real. They didn't like walk down. Oh, everything's cool. You know, whatever. No. If you want to win, if you want to improve, you got to be aggressive. You got to man up. Man, I just don't. Anyway, again, it's early, but no, but you know, it's early for everybody else too. So
that's right. So now, if we get to March or late February, and I'm still having this question that's been unanswered, I'm gonna start looking up with.
I guess,
looking at the top.
I guess the thing is, I'm from the old school. I know some coaches, man, that we've been running right now. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Seriously. We gotta be all nice to people these days because of this, that. It's a different society we live in, but I'm all about the old school.
Now, sometimes I used to get mad at Coach Williams because, you know, I feel like he would throw some players under the bus unnecessarily.
Right.
But now, he was equal opportunity because he would, you know what I mean? So he threw anybody he felt like wouldn't get it done, including the whole team. One day I said, wow, okay, coach. He said he's the least talented individual we've ever seen at this university.
Yeah, I'll put it. Remember when Coach K took the names off of everybody's lockers and stuff in the locker room? We got to put one of those numbers. Y'all deserve it. Take my stuff off. I want to say something else so bad, but I'm on the radio.
Take it off. You ain't got nothing in there. No carpet. You got like the little metal church chairs.
They can't go in the locker room. They change it outside of the
Look, take all the chairs out of the locker room. That's what I would do. I'd take all the chairs out of the locker room. Take all the chairs, all the names off. Look, what is this? Well, I don't know. Change over there in the athletic closet, you know, over there in the equipment
closet. Because you don't deserve to have no chairs, no name up here until you want to win. It's not even about winning.
Just right. Lock it. Lock it. Because how are we supposed to change? Change your damn. Look, change before you get here. How about that?
Changing,
how about that?
Changing your dorm room or your apartment.
Right.
Or your suite, so when you get, you live
so, so, so that's the problem, see? See, this younger generation, they don't come to, they don't come to work ready to work. They come to work to get ready to go to work. No, you bring your ass to work ready to work.
Lunch pail, everything. Let's
come
go.
On. When you walk in the gym, you look, all you need to do is lace them up.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? You know, that's how you supposed to walk. That's how, you know, ballers, that's how you walk in the gym. Ballers walk in the gym, lace them up, let's go.
They walk in the gym, ball out, side out, let's go.
Let's go.
And we running.
Come on now. Now, that's some young people looking at the radio going, what the hell are they talking about? See, that's the problem. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Right, exactly. And that's a problem. They don't know what he was talking about, but hopefully they will after the last two games. But three things that they're going to need, really three things they're going to need if they're going to play better tonight.
One, courage. Need, no. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
A little courage.
Sorry.
A little courage. No, they're going to need that. yeah, that too. Pepsi Zero Sugar is one of them. The Mountain Dew Zero Sugar is the second one, and they got to have the official sports apparel of the Sports Shop with Under Armour. Keep it right, keep it tight all night. They have those people.
Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it tight.
Collar Park, Bubba Sparks, Yin Yang Twins.
But wait, Forrest!
Okay, okay, okay.
Definitely Wake Forest.
Wake Forest? Yeah, they're on a big network.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
It is Tuesday, and we do this each and every Tuesday, and today is no different. Right about now, we get a chance to do Game On and Game Over with the editor, the chief creative officer, the chief licensing officer, you, the photographer, the film, everything, the talent, everything for Carolina Blitz, Ms. Vashti Hurd. What's going on, Vashti?
Huh? This Isaiah kid is in Detroit, but you don't come at the king in the manner that he came at the king and think you just gonna slide by and get away with it. You just don't do that.
Well, so okay. Funny enough, because Reese challenged me earlier, and I went and looked back at the clip. For like 2 minutes, he was standing there right face to face, nose to nose with LeBron. He didn't take one swing.
Exactly. Then all
because
of that
because at the time he wasn't bleeding, K-Mac. He wasn't bleeding. No, the blood when he started leaking, that changed the whole. No. He wasn't bleeding at the time he's in front of LeBron. That changed the whole landscape when he started leaking. That changed the whole conversation.
And if you're gonna throw a punch, throw a punch. All of those dramatics is not necessary. Real people square up off rip. Not all of that. Oh, hold me back.
Let me tell you something.
Matter of fact, I felt like he should have got suspended more games because he embarrassed himself.
Oh my God! You know what? But no, coming from you, I'm not. I know I'm not shocked hearing that come from you because you be.
It was embarrassing watching him run around and stuff like that.
What was embarrassing was he should have stole LeBron like LeBron stole him. Because I'm telling you, that's been me.
Right.
I've been in that situation. Why see? No, when you see blood, it changes the whole conversation.
Y'all been on the block before.
Yes.
Y'all been on the block, and we have all been on the block. Were you fighting for position to get a rebound off of a free throw? Like, this is what you do. Your arms get mixed up, whatever.
Oh, dude my
was
goodness.
Him. That's dude not, was I know you. LeBron was going to get it off.
Oh, my. Vesta, are you saying
wait a minute,
that was a basketball move, Vesta? Really?
I'm just saying this is what happens on the block when you're jockeying for a position for a rebound.
He was on a high that's block. Hey, the ball, Vesta, he was on a high block, and the ball went to the basket. The ball went through the basket. Why he even box out at that point?
Hold on.
That
hold
man
on,
should have been suspended on, five Vesta. Games for just the
hold on, Vesta. Oh, my hold goodness. On, Vesta. This is my exit. You can let me off right here, LeBron shot him a bow now. Come on now. Let's keep it a band now. Come on.
All right.
He shot him a bow.
Anyway,
trust
I just had to let y'all know my opinion on that. Panthers Twitter packed Joey Sly up yesterday after the former Carolina and current Washington kicker posted a picture of him from Sunday's game with the caption, "I'm back," which many perceived as a reference to Cam Newton's "I'm back" touchdown celebration during the Panthers' Week 10 loss to the Cardinals. Joey Sly basically then And it was a clear reference. The wording was exactly the same. But in his Instagram story, Joey said that he posted a picture of him and Cam with the caption saying it had nothing to do with Cam. And then the next picture of the Washington football team and saying that it had everything to do with a great team win. People on Twitter really came at him. He said, saying, for example, does Joy Sly realize he's been on four different teams before week 10? Certified bum. So I ask you guys, game on or game over, that Sly's post was more about acknowledging a great team win than taking shots at Carolina.
Do we really have to answer this? You know, dog, where he's taking shots at Carolina.
You think it's okay, Mike?
What?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm back? Come on.
Yeah, he probably was. The game on. I agree with that. I agree with that. The more I think about it, yeah.
But to me, I mean, if you're taking shots, say it with your chest. Don't go back in your stories and say you weren't taking a shot at Cam. You were clearly taking a shot at Cam. The whole team was taking shots at Cam because as they were leaving and I was heading to the press box, you know, I heard players saying, you know, y'all got Cam back and y'all still lost. So, you know, this is the whole energy that was surrounding the team. And Joy Sly, you know, you felt like this was your get back. Then say it with your chest.
So the Washington football team talking junk. I mean, I get it.
They were. They were talking junk.
Hold on, Rick. Wait a minute. We won the game.
It's still the Washington football team, though.
I mean, whatever. We won the game, and we're on a 2-game winning streak. We took down Tom Brady, who you saw last night, who still is Tom Brady, the week before that. And then we came back and followed that up with, you know, stifling the resurgence of Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey and a newly energized Carolina Panthers team. So let's not diminish the accomplishments of the Washington football team over the last couple of weeks.
They've been diminished.
Whoa. I mean, they've been the menace for quite some time. Thank you.
Thank you, Reese. Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe they came at your mouth. Go ahead, Vasco.
Exactly. Like, we're still not talking. They don't even have a mascot. It's just the Washington football team. Like, really. I don't argue with people or teams that don't have mascots or, we're not even doing
our
that.
Teams, all our right. teams are not even over 500. So don't talk to me. You get over 500, exactly. You get a mascot. I'm sorry.
All right. College basketball writer Jeff Goodman and UNC Twitter was kind of split on this last night. He took a shot at Hubert Davis last night. He tweeted, Wes Miller, first coach to start his career at the school with 5 wins. Bearcats just pummeled Illinois. With all due respect to Hubert Davis, Miller was always my pick to replace Roy in Chapel Hill.
Now, who
guys,
said this?
Game on or game over. Jeff Goodman, you know, the national college basketball writer.
Oh, okay.
Game on or game over, that it's too soon to criticize Hubert Davis.
Wait a minute. And what was he using as a reference? Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. Wes Miller, yeah, said Wes Miller was the first coach to start his career at the school with 5 wins. Bearcats just pummeled Illinois. With all due respect to Hubert Davis, Miller was always my pick to replace Roy in Chapel Hill.
Tar Heel fans, Cincinnati some 10 didn't. Times, yeah. They beat the brakes off the ball every time they played them. Anyway, okay. I'm sorry.
So is it too soon to criticize Hubert Davis?
No, let me say this. First of all, I watched the Cincinnati game. I knew that was going to happen. So I said to myself, somebody's going to say that. Because they're comparing Hubert to Wes Miller because, you know, Wes wanted the job too. And by the way, K-Man, Cincinnati have a really good basketball team. So I'm not sure who wins that game right now. They play Carolina, to be fair about it. But I think it's a fair comment to make if Jeff Goodman, if he favored Wes Miller over Hubert. But the overall question, it is too soon. I mean, let's see Cincinnati play Purdue, which is a number 6 ranked team in the nation, and Tennessee, which is not that bad either. But Illinois is not a good basketball team. Cincinnati beat last night? Yeah. It's too soon.
I hear you, Reese. It's still Cincinnati.
Yeah, but no, K-Man, they got a good team though. Seriously,
man,
they
really I don't want to hit at you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Uh oh.
Yeah, you keep on. I ain't trying to hit. I tell you what. Why don't you have them come find us? You know, in March. How about that?
Okay. All right.
So K-Mac, is it too soon to criticize Hubert Davis?
Way too soon. Way too soon. And off of the small sample size of what's been accomplished at Cincinnati, regardless, as we say, they have a good team. That's what we're using? Come on now.
I agree. And now, I mean.
But if that's
UNC's
your guy, that's your
defense,
guy.
Yeah.
UNC's defense has been lackluster. And so I put that on coaching. But I do not feel like Hubert Davis should be criticized for taking a loss to a very good Purdue team and a top 25 ranked Tennessee team. Yeah. Now, they did struggle with College of Charleston. They struggled with another team as well. But it's still early in the season, and they still have a lot of talent. I think that Hubert will tighten up this defense. Hopefully, he'll need to. But to start criticizing him, five, six games into the season, I thought this was kind of petty by Jeff Goodman, whether this is his guy or not. I just didn't think. I don't think other coaches would be getting the same energy. So I don't think it's right.
But we all know, and this one's afraid of, that it's gonna be like a magnifying glass on top of Hubert Davis, mm-hmm. everything he does.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not because of his coaching ability, but because of his race. And I'll be totally honest with you about that. And I really feel that way. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. Sticking with UNC, Sam Howell missed last week's game against Wofford with an upper body injury. When asked about his recovery yesterday, Howell said that he's, quote unquote, getting there, getting better, making progress every day. This week, the Tar Heels will look to spoil NC State's shot at playing for an ACC championship. Game on or game over, with the disclaimer that he's healthy, Sam Howell should play versus NC State.
Game on, 100%. That's why you come to Carolina for this game. Absolutely.
If you're injured, sit out. Oh, wait a minute.
Sit out for when? For what?
That's right. You really weren't injured. So, yeah.
Ooh.
You load management. That's what this was about. I ain't mad at him, though. I mean, they didn't need him to play Wofford, so, though. I mean, why not take the week off?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Take the week off. He going to play. He ain't sitting out. He ready to go. He ready
to
go.
He should play. That's why you come to school to play this game. So, you should play. Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a good look that you sit out Wofford as if Wofford, you know, you're supposed to take every opponent seriously. So you load management, you sit out against Wofford, then you come back against NC State. Then I mean, does he plan the bowl game? I personally think at this point, you know, he's not going to help his draft stock anymore. The only thing he could do is hurt it. And if he cares about where he's drafted or his potential or his chances at the next level, you just basically you cruise on and you start getting ready for the draft. I know, you know, it's not the, you know, go team, go thing to say, but this is a time that we live in. Somebody had posed a question about, since NIL, could the bowl, whatever, let's say UNC goes to the Duke's Mayo Bowl or whatever, could they pay Sam Howell to play?
They could.
Part of the NIL.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, why
that's
not?
Another interesting aspect.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. With the sitting out against Wofford, and then now you're all of a sudden you're well enough to play against NC State, and they've been really kind of hush-hush about what this injury is. You know, I don't know. I just think if you're going to sit out, then just because of health, then sit out because of health.
Mm. Okay. But he better now. I feel better now.
Oh, okay. All right. It's been a tough couple of years for David Cutcliffe and the Duke Blue Devil football team. But when asked if he has more football left in him, the 67-year-old coach says he still has a lot of fight left in him. This is the quote. That's what everybody's speculating. I got more. I don't know if I look worn out or look all that bad, but I got a lot of fire in me. I'm a young football coach. I love doing what I'm doing. Has this been fun? No. Has this been rewarding? Yes, because you find out more about yourself during these times. Here is the test. I've had to fight adversity all my life, and if you don't run from it, I mean, you just get better. So, game on or game over, that Cutcliffe will be Duke's head football coach next season.
Game, I don't know, be honest with you. That's a great question. That's a really good question. I'm thinking no. Okay, I'm thinking no. Because selfishly, I'd rather see him kind of chill out, maybe become, I don't know, one of those quarterback, you know, whispers, if you will. But coach, I don't know, what else can he do at Duke? You know, I mean, it's not about him. It's really about the Duke program in general. So.
Yeah, I feel like since it doesn't appear that there was a transition plan after for the this beating last season, I think he will coach next season, but it will be his last season, and you will see the transition plan during all of next season.
Mm-hmm. That could be true too. Yeah. What do you think?
Do you think Duke would fire him though?
No, I don't think so. Why?
Let me tell you something. If they hadn't been able to get the last 50 years of bad juju off of him, you mess around and fire Coach Cut, you in for another 50.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Before reading this statement, I thought, okay, this is his swan song against Miami. But mm-hmm. him clearly saying that he's got more, definitively saying that he's got a lot of fire in him, and me agreeing with you guys, I don't think that Duke actually comes out and fires him because of, you know, he did. I mean, several years ago, he brought the football team back to relevancy, even if it was just for a couple of years. I think K-Mac makes a good point. They kind of maybe groom somebody or decide how they want to go in the next direction or in a new direction. But Cutcliffe, I mean, he says he's a young football coach, but 67 years ain't lying. I mean, 67 is not young. So, you know, maybe it's time for him to move on. But I think he'll probably be the coach next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we have time for one more?
Last one, Vashti. Make it quick. What we got?
Okay. Paolo Banchero addressed charges of aiding and abetting DWI for the first time last night in Duke's win over the Citadel. When asked how he's been and if he's learned from what he's been going through, he said, quote, "Been all right. You know, my teammates have my back, so it wasn't too hard for me. Not going to say it wasn't on my mind the last two games. It was, and I feel like today was a bounce back game for me, and I felt good out there." And then when asked about if he's learned from it, he said, "I mean, I think we all learned from it. Can't really say much about it, but we learned from it and we handled it as a team. We moved on. We want to get on with our season. Game on or game over, that is time to move on from Duke's DWI story."
I say game on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's game on.
No, I agree.
What are we going to do? Give him the death penalty? I mean, hell. Exactly. what else we want to
do? Well, some of those UNC fans have a different amount of energy.
Reese, you never know these days.
These days, you never know. You walk in and think things are going to be, it's a sure thing. Next thing you know, like, damn, that's what happened? Like that movie Life. You never know. That. You never know.
You think yourself like, what's that
life?
That wasn't, what? Hey, you do realize that wasn't even present, but okay, right. Go ahead.
You just never know these days, Vesta. You can't. It's not a certain. It's not a certainty at all. So I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I stand corrected. Thank you for that reminder, Reese. Appreciate that. Thank you for that. Let's not assume anything.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right, Vesta. As good always. Stuff.
All right, guys. Remember, don't come at the king. Don't come at the king.
You know what? Anyway, I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm not going to
come at the king. Best okay.
Was that a house tooth? Was that a house tooth?
Yeah,
fit
it was.
For Sunday?
Yeah,
that was
I saw
house tooth.
House tooth in the end zone. In the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. You rolling with the house tooth.
Oh,
on Sunday,
goodness.
Fit the fit for Sunday was house.
No, tooth. It wasn't house tooth, but I did do a pattern mix.
I told you, boy, you better stop. I ain't got people listening now. I told you. All right, Vass. We gone.
All right, guys.
All right, be good. Reese, if people listen, be careful. Watch out.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac. The undefeated spotlight. Now, it's time for an inside look at the latest news and commentary from the undefeated, ESPN's premier website on race, culture, and sports. This is the undefeated spotlight with senior editor John X. Miller.
John X. Miller.
Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody on this tantalizing Tuesday?
What's going on, John? How you doing?
You know how it is.
Good,
John.
We live, man.
We live in a dream, getting ready for just, you know, a little turkey, a little yam, something. You know, we're going to have something going on. We're
going to have something going on. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it, too, man. This year has gone by pretty quickly. You know,
sure
it
has.
Seems like it's going to by pretty quickly. And so I'm looking forward to the holiday season, seeing some football, some basketball. You know, we're right in the midst of that crossover season, right? Football and basketball at the same time. So this is the best time of the year.
You can't done get any better than this.
Exactly.
John the Undefeated, you guys always have tons of things going on, but what do you have starting off with is going on with the site this week?
Well, this week we've got a really great feature on Dak Prescott and how his focus on mental health has shifted as he's caring for others now, not only himself. And so that was brought about by the death of a young man from Florida named Bryce Gowdy and Dak's own brother who committed suicide. And so, you know, he talks about in this piece, and we're actually going to have a Why Not Us special on this next week. We're going to drop it on the 29th. But a special on how Dak's life has shifted and his focus has shifted, not just, you know, to be more focused on football, but also focused on bringing awareness to caring for others and himself who might be having mental health issues. So, you know, it's a great piece that shows kind of the other side of a superstar athlete, that he's not just about the money, he's just not about the game, but he's about caring for others. And so, you know, it's a piece that, you know, sometimes we might not recognize that athletes want to be transparent in these kinds of situations. But the piece that was done by Jean-Jacques Taylor was really informative and insightful into what drives this superstar athlete.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a good piece. Mental health is an issue that a lot of people are focusing on now. So I'm glad you guys wrote a piece. We talked to John S. Miller. Hey, rock with John. We rock with John each and every Tuesday, same place, same time. John, I hadn't seen the movie yet, King Richard. But obviously, Ms. McDonald writes an article in The Undefeated, talks about that they missed the opportunity to really showcase, the real story of how this family pretty much ruled tennis. I hadn't seen it yet, but I plan to see it in the next couple of days. So
yeah,
if you can comment on it, just let me know.
Yeah, I think what Soraya was saying was that the film could have been better if Will Smith wasn't King Richard, because, you know, his
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because yesterday, B. Knight Rider, who comes on the show, was very complimentary about Will, and that was my only drawback is. It's not. I guess Will Smith playing, you know, Serena's father. You know, that was a tough one. I didn't see.
Well, you know, anybody who's been around Richard Williams and knows Richard Williams, right, knows that Will Smith doesn't act like Richard Williams, right? Richard Williams is a commanding presence, right? When you look at Will Smith playing any part, right, you know, he's not like Samuel L. Jackson, right? Samuel L. Jackson can play, can play any part, and it don't, you know, you don't think of the actor as Samuel L. Jackson. You think of the actor, you know, as the part
that
he's playing.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Right. You know, whether it's a Star Wars character, whether it's any character he plays, right?
Yes.
You don't think of it as Samuel Jackson. But when you look at Will Smith, you say, that's Will Smith playing somebody.
That's true. That's so true.
That's true. But what Soraya does say is that the other performances, right, by the teen girls who play Serena and Venus and the actress who plays Aura Scene, their mother, mm-hmm. really do have great performances, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of overlook Will Smith's presence and mm-hmm. and lock into the story and the significance of their story, then it's a good movie.
Okay. Okay.
So every time I look at Will Smith, I think of the Fresh Prince. You know, I don't know where. Yeah, that's
a good point.
but that's a really good absent point, that, right? It's a good movie from what she says. So I'm going to check it out because
I'm checking out next couple days. Probably on Thanksgiving.
Seeing their story, I think seeing their story is important, right? Because people don't recognize, you know, where they came from to the greatness they are now. Their backstory is just great. It really is.
Okay,
man. We're talking. Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that too. I was wondering. I guess it'd just be hard to do to have a movie that talks about the dominance of the Williams sisters on the court, as well as their upbringing and Richard Williams and how he got them to that point and their family dynamics and all those things, because it's just seemed like it'll be a lot to get into one into one movie and tell it correctly and tell it, you know.
The thing, you got to tell it correctly, you know. And I think their backstory, because most people know about their dominance in tennis, but they don't know about their backstory. You know, the kind of rigor that he put them through, the fact that, you know, Venus got the opportunity to train at the country club while Serena just really had to look at the video and kind of train on her own with Richard. Mm. See, and so they don't recognize that, you know, that Venus, even though Serena's the GOAT now, they don't recognize that Venus was better. Right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And that Venus taught Serena how to play. Yeah. Big sister. So most people don't recognize that story. So I'm appreciative of this story this time of year too, because during the holidays it's when people flock to the movies.
Right.
So this is the right time to drop the movie. Yeah, it really is.
Outstanding. We're talking with John X. Miller from the Undefeated on the Undefeated Spotlight. Last week we had some heated conversations around Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and I see you guys are talking about Curry remaking the brand. And his brand designed beyond basketball. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, he's more than a player, right? We've heard this over and over again.
Reese.
Now,
Reese.
Recently. He's more than a player, right? Because look what look what he did for the Howard Golf team, right?
Yeah.
He's resurrected the Howard Golf program, men's and women's, supplied them with coaching, supplied them with equipment and everything. And that's just one of the things that he's doing off the court. You know, a couple other things that he's doing off the court is, he's refurbishing the most iconic basketball park in the world, where he also holds, skills camps. And that's the Rucker Park in Harlem. Right.
Oh, wow.
He's refurbishing it and upgrading it. And he's holding quarterly skills camps for athletes at that site. Right. OK, so look. More than an athlete, what is he doing, right? And the other thing that he's doing, he's committed resources to about 125 programs for young athletes around the country to train them and to train coaches and youths, right? And young people, right? About basketball. Hmm. So he's trying to teach the kinds of skills that he has on the court, but he's also, teaching those kinds of skills of sportsmanship, of how to play as a team as opposed to play as an individual player. Right. So he's bringing more to the game than just, what he's doing on the court. And of course, he's lighting it up right so far this season on the court. Right. So that just raises his profile off the court as well. And so, this young man is somebody who is going to contribute more to the game off the court than he might contribute on the court, even though we know he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Imagine the kinds of things he'll be able to do once his career is over. Right. Because he's already started down that road. So if you want to compare KD and Curry, on the court, I would say they're very close, and the game is not over yet. Their legacy is not set yet on the court, because the way it looks this year, Golden State has a better shot at a title than the Nets, right? The Nets don't look like they're going to contend at all this year. There's just too much going on there. But the other thing is the kinds of things that Curry does off the court will cement him, I think, and his legacy as a player who believed that basketball was more than a game.
Okay. We're talking to John S. Miller, the senior editor at Undefeated. And great, always good to talk to him. We got up against my last one, John, though, regarding the bands. I asked this question with all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the hell is Florida Memorial located at? That's what I want to know.
Florida Memorial is in Florida. It's in Miami Gardens, I believe, right?
And K-Mac, you ever heard of the school before?
Not before the rankings came out.
that's y'all problem. That's y'all problem. look. Florida A&M legacy goes beyond, you know, Tallahassee. And so one of the things that Florida Memorial has done is that they have upgraded their program to the point where they've, you know, most of their staff is former Florida A&M band members. Right.
Okay.
And so they're learning from the best, and they're a Division II band, right?
Right.
And so we did a story about Florida Memorial and about their legacy of training the band members even during the COVID period. Right. They were on campus training during the COVID period, knowing that when the opportunity came, they would have to shine. And so they've done a really good job of on two points: musicality, right, which is, you know, obviously playing the music. But precision and the whole idea of how you look on the field. And you know that's what FAMU is famous for, right? Is musicality and drill and design. And so go to our website. We did a really good feature on Florida Memorial even before they became ranked, because we recognized that they were an up and coming Division II program. They are Division II.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And so they're smaller. Yeah, right. They are smaller. Right. But small doesn't mean power. I mean, does not mean powerful.
Yeah.
And so the good program. They're a good program.
Yeah. Shout out to them. And of course, Prairie View being the number one team in Division I. And I'm happy to say I do see some references to Alabama A&M on these lists. So I feel a little better now than I did over the last couple of weeks. So I appreciate that, John.
Well, you know, it's kudos to the band, right? Because they raised their game. Right? They raised their game.
All right. Sounds good.
We got one more ranking coming out the week of the Celebration Bowl. Just one last thing about Celebration Bowl. You know, we got South Carolina State in the Celebration Bowl now, right? Because they're the MEAC champions. And then in a couple of weeks, it'll be probably against Prairie View at Jackson. They're going to play the SWAC title game at Jackson. And then we'll see who matches up against South Carolina State in the Celebration Bowl. But these next few, you know, is going to HBCU football is going to be lit. It really is.
Awesome.
John X. Miller, it's always a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Always glad to be here on always a pleasure terrific Tuesday.
It is.
Exactly, man.
And by the way, whoever you have covering Jackson State and, you know, and all of what Deion has done, do a couple of pieces on the impact it has had in the community, in the impoverished areas and poverty around Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm telling you, he is changing. He is changing more than just the university.
Yes.
And it is absolutely amazing. And I couldn't be more proud of the transformation. So,
we're going to drop that story the week of the Celebration Bowl. We're working on it right now.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan. Appreciate it, John. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes store.